This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng, and with me is Joyce Goh. And it's time to look at the world markets, and we have on the line Stephen Innes, head of trading in Asia Pacific and Oanda in Singapore. Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for joining us. So rising volatility and rising anxiety continues to hit global markets. You came up with a very interesting thought recently, the bizarre rinse cycle where traders are taking extreme views on just about everything. What do you think investors should be watching out over the course of this week?
You know, one thing we have to be very careful of behind these extreme views is a lack of liquidity. And I think what we're having is just this constant onslaught of trade rhetoric, and it's sort of causing people to reevaluate any positivity that they picked up from the G20. So what I was referring to the rinse cycle was basically we came in last Monday feeling relatively positive that something did happen at G20 dinner, only to have that reversed out about 12 hours later after the U.S. administration couldn't confirm what actually was said. And then we were hit with that wave of risk aversion from the Huawei incident, and that really set things off in motion. Now, within the backdrop of that, we also had markets looking at a possible slowdown in the U.S. economy, and there was a little bit overemphasis on yield curve inversions. And that sort of sent panic around the market because that's what happened back in 2008. People think this is what's happening now, but, you know, the landscapes are completely different. The U.S. economy isn't going into the tank. Sure, the global economy is still slowing down, but we're in a lot stronger position than we were back in 2008. So markets are quite different. And, you know, these bullish extremes that we're seeing, we're getting pared back a little bit towards week's end. However, we're by no means out of the woods yet. This trade war issue is going to continue on well beyond the 90-day moratorium by the looks of it right now.
Stephen, so we're not out of the woods yet, and given the rising volatility today, what is smart money doing with their capital?
Well, you saw this happening last week where there was some attraction for bond markets. Obviously, you saw the big rally in the U.S. bond market. That tells me that people have lack of confidence in equity markets and are more than prepared to lock in a yield. At that point, the U.S. markets were fairly attractive, offering a 3% yield, and that's the highest in domestic markets. But we also saw some plays into local Asian markets. The ringgit, for instance, in Malaysia bond market traded quite strong at one point last week, down below 4.15, surprising quite a few. But again, that was on bond inflows. Same with the rupiah. It looks like we're heading towards 14,000 again because of the strong bond inflows. So that tells me that investors' appetite for something is good. Mm. We're looking at a weaker Fed. We're looking at a perhaps Fed dovish pivot, which should take a little bit of the froth off of the stronger U.S. dollar narrative. This really helps out Asian currencies, and we see some appeal into the bond market. Equity markets are a different story. Unfortunately, local markets are really getting weighted down, obviously, by the trade war malaise. As that plays out very, very negatively in the landscape. So, you know, it's a bit difficult to jump into the equity markets, although they are completely undervalued. And we know that 5 or 10 years down the road, they're going to be much higher. But there is still some opportunity to be buying these undervalued pockets at much lower prices.
But, you know, just looking at the equity market, Stephen, are we talking about something that is more, something bigger because there's this extreme chaos and pervasive fear that's in the market? Is it totally risk off for equities right now?
Yeah, but, you know, every day we come in and we're trying to put a positive spin on the markets. But, you know, if we look at this global growth narrative, when we first started out looking at this, we thought it was a synchronized global growth narrative, but really it was only the U.S. The rest of the world was actually slowing. So we're starting to see the U.S. Show signs of weakness. Although, I mean, a one-off jobs report that came out last week was a little bit lower than expected. We shouldn't really make much inference of that. But the Feds are sending out some early warning signals, started several weeks ago, suggesting the U.S. economy may slow in 2019 because of the fiscal policy implications may fade, tax cuts may fade. And this is quite a concern for global markets, because now you'll have lower, you'll have weaker you'll have weaker markets throughout the world, but the U.S. market's also going to weaken, and that's quite a negative sign for equity markets, in my view. You know, is there something that can be done? Well, definitely. We're starting to see that happen now. We're starting to see global central bankers remain quite dovish. For instance, the RBA, I don't think they're going to be moving interest rates before 2021. We're starting to see the Fed come off the boil now, and the implications there would probably mean the Bank of Japan is in no hurry to raise interest rates. We have a big ECB decision this week, although they're probably going to start draining the slush fund by pulling back on some QE. I think they'll also lean towards perhaps a more dovish pivot, given that the weaker economic data coming out of Europe suggests the ECB, as far as interest rate hikes will go, is going to remain reticent. So, you know, that's something we're going to keep an eye on. And I think if the global central banks, and obviously I should include the PBOC in this equation too, because they're probably the central bank with the biggest war chest, they'll probably start to have to stimulate the China economy. So all this over time will provide a buttress global markets, but it takes quite a while for this to come back in the feedback loop. So there's no immediate resolution to these problems, but over time the markets will come back, because the banks realize they'll have to keep global markets fairly liquid.
Well, Stephen, earlier we were talking about the jobs report. So the US dollar fell after the latest data coming out from that showed jobs growth slowing. You have 155,000 payrolls created versus 198,000 estimated. This is for November. So what's your outlook for the US dollar moving forward?
Well, you know, I tend to take my cues on a broader macro sense, and listening to the Feds, they are pivoting to more data dependency. That gives them a little bit of wiggle room not to raise interest rates. So I think the U.S. dollar is going to be very much a data-dependent story, mm-hmm. As far as U.S. goes. So in other words, as U.S. data comes out, it should good. But I'm looking at around the world here, okay? Mm-hmm. I look at Australian economy looks very poor. As played out by last week's Q3 GDP. Housing market concerns, credit market concerns suggest that the RBA will remain dovish. That means to me that the U.S. dollar will probably remain strong against the Australian dollar and perhaps other commodity-linked currencies, because we are possibly going into a global slowdown, and that weighs negatively on commodity-linked currencies. On the other hand, we can look at places like Europe, which have had a downturn in the economy, but, you know, we're always expecting the EU economy to snap out of it. Like right now, it's getting dragged down into the mud because of a lot of political risk. So if we look at these idiosyncratic moves, I think the dollar is susceptible against some currencies, but then it could stay strong against other currencies. So it's really a mixed bag, and this is what we have to be focused on. Instead of looking at a generalized dollar move, we have to look at these idiosyncratic moves within the broader U.S. dollar basket. But overall, given that the euro tends to be the biggest focus in the markets, I think there's more upside potential for the euro, simply because the fact we know the terminal rate that's set in for the Federal Reserve Board, whereas ECB still remains quite unquantifiable, and perhaps they could start raising interest rates at some point in 2019.
Thanks so much for your thoughts. And that was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific for ON Singapore, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.